Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 20 through 25. And when thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, What mean the testimonies and the statutes and the judgments which the Lord your God hath commanded you? Then ye shall say unto thy son, We were Pharaoh's bondmen in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And the Lord showed signs and wonders, great and sore, upon Egypt, upon Pharaoh, and upon all his household before our eyes. And he brought us out from thence, that he might bring us in, to give us the land which he sware unto our fathers. And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God, for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is at this day. And it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God as he hath commanded us. So we pray. Father, you have given to us these words not for mere historical benefit nor for entertainment. You have given to us these words for our own deep need of heart and soul. We pray that you would instruct us during these moments, that we might learn thy ways and thus experience the life of joy and blessing you desire us to have. In Jesus' name, amen. Our topic tonight is informal family devotions. I receive literature occasionally that describes some new book or some new kit that is supposed to help make family devotions interesting, profitable, and helpful so that your children will pay attention and learn. In that way, we are supposed to be able to teach them something. We're told, buy this kit or buy this book, and this will help you do your job. Well, I think you can probably save your money, because if you have a Bible, you have here the very best program that was ever written for having profitable family devotions. And it was written here by Moses 3,000 years ago in Deuteronomy chapter 6. Now, actually, the first aspect of this we studied last week. We saw last week in verses 13 through 19 that Moses says in verse 13, Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve him and shalt swear by his name. And we saw last week just what this means, and that then if I really fear the Lord, if I have a healthy respect for his power and authority, if I really serve the Lord, don't expect God to be my errand boy and say, Now, God, I need you a minute. Come here and help me. But if I really serve the Lord and say, Lord, what would you have me to do? And if I swear by his name, if I bring his name into all of my daily affairs, so that I commit myself, that I belong to him, then the very first step of this is taken care of, because Moses says, Then God will cast out all your enemies before you. And when your children see how God is working in your life, then they are going to want to know more. They are going to desire to know what is going on here anyway. And you will have the very first thing that you want, and that is your interest, their interest. And so Moses says here in verse 20, And when thy son asketh thee in time to come, you notice Moses does not say, if your son asks you. Because Moses says, if you are a growing Christian, if you are going on with God, if God is doing anything in your life, then your children are going to ask, what is going on here anyway? And as you share with them what God is doing in your life, they're going to say, now, what was that? How did that work? And so Moses says the first step, the hardest thing, how do you get their interest? How do you get them interested in the things of God? The first step is right here. And verses 13 through 19, as you, in your own personal, individual life, fear the Lord and serve Him and bring Him into every aspect of your life, then Moses says, then when your children ask, then this is what you are to tell them. There won't be any problem with interest. And Moses says, now this is the way you satisfy that curiosity. These are the things that you are to tell them. So Moses here gives us in verses 21 through 25 what we should tell them. He says, you have their attention. Now, this is what you tell them. First of all, we have then in verses 21 through 23, Moses tells us that we are to share with our children God's way. Verses 21 and 22, he says specifically, we are to share with our children what God has done for us. What God has done for you, then, is that what you are to share with them? So Moses says you are to share with them your past. He says, we were Pharaoh's bondmen in Egypt. This was Israel's particular past. And Moses says, you tell them how your life was before you got to know God and how you came to know God. And you remember with Israel, how they were slaves in the land of Egypt. And God said, I am going to send the death angel amongst the Egyptians, and all the firstborn are going to die. But if you will place if you will slay a lamb and place the blood over the doorpost of your house, then when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And this is what Israel did. They put the blood on the doorpost, and the death angel passed by, and they were spared. And Moses says, you tell your children how God spared your lives. Then you tell them about how God delivered you out of the land of Egypt, and Pharaoh and his armies drowned, but you were delivered out of his hand, and he brought you out of the land of Egypt. And so you tell them how he delivered you. And this is exactly what we are to do today. We are to share with our children how we were saved. Share with them how your life was before you came to know Christ. Share with them how you heard the gospel. How you saw that Jesus Christ died for your sins. You were lost and undone, but that his death on the cross bought your deliverance. And God says, when I see the blood of my Son, and that you are trusting in him, his death for you, I will pass over you. You will be spared. And so you tell your children how you were saved. It's very important that you be able to explain to them exactly how you were saved, how you came to know Christ, how you were brought out of a life of living for yourself to a life of living for God. Now, some parents are very reticent about this, and they think, well, you know, I didn't have a real dramatic conversion. I was kind of brought up under the hearing of the gospel and not really sure exactly when I trusted Christ. But you know, if you will think through how you really were before you were saved and what you were really like after God got a hold of you, you don't have to have been out in a life of outward immorality and things like that. Just think of your attitudes. What were some of your attitudes before you were saved? How has God changed those attitudes since Christ has come into your heart? As you really meditate on what God has done for you and the changes he's brought into your life, I think anybody can come up with a dramatic salvation experience, because salvation is dramatic. If you are a new creature in Christ Jesus, there has to have been some changes. And if you will think back as to what those changes really were, it can be a very interesting story. And you need to think through your own conversion, how you came to know Christ, and share this then with your children. And so we need to tell them how God delivered us, how He saved us. We need to share with them also how He continued to lead us after our salvation. And Israel had this experience as they went through the desert toward the promised land. God provided their every need. He provided manna for them there in the desert, water for them, water from the rock. And we're told in the New Testament that that rock was Christ. And as that water came gushing out of that rock, it was God's object lesson, saying that Christ, my Messiah, is able to meet all of your needs. And Jesus referred to this in the New Testament as he talked to the Samaritan woman. He says, you believe on me, and you won't have to come and seek for water for your soul, because I will supply you. Out of your innermost being, Jesus said, shall flow rivers of living water. And so we need to share with our children how God led us after we were saved, down through the years, if it's been a period of years, how God has led us on with Himself into a deeper experience with Him day by day in our lives. You know, children just love to hear their parents tell about how things were years ago. I know I used to, as my parents would say, now when you were younger, we went and did this, and then they'd say, they might even go way back, now when I was in high school, and you know, kids just enjoy that so much, hearing their parents tell about how things were before. Well, maybe you were saved later on in life, and you'll have to search for the things that God was really doing. You know, God was doing things in your life even before you were saved, as He was bringing you to Himself. And as you think back in your life of how God has worked in your life, how He led you, and look for the practical applications of that, and share that with your children, this becomes very meaningful. And as Christians now, we think back, how God led me since I've been saved, and share these things then with them. And so, after sharing them, then what He has done for you in saving you, and then as He's led you on further, the next thing is to share what He is doing for you now. What is God doing in your life right now? In verse 23, Moses says, and He brought us up from thence that He might bring us in. And so here Moses is talking about what they were going through right then. They weren't in the promised land yet. They were out of Egypt and across the desert and on the border of the promised land. And Moses says, this, what God is doing right now, is also something that you need to share with your children. Share with your children day by day what God is doing in your life, how He spanks you. You know, sometimes children think that they're the only ones that get spanked. Well, you know, God spanks parents too. And day by day, God brings things into our lives. If there's things He wants to teach us, sometimes He has to spank us. And we need to share with our children how God spanks us. What happened and why it happened. And so, how He spanks us, how He rewards us, how He teaches us, how He encourages us. If I'm not a growing Christian, if I'm not going on with God, if God isn't working in my life day by day, then I'm not going to have much to talk about. And the result will be that I will just settle for, well, let's read the Bible and pray. And Moses says here, we need to have something from our daily lives that we can share with our children. We need to tell them, first of all, God's ways. How has God worked in my life? How is God working in my life now? Not only do we need to share with them God's ways, we need to share with our children God's motives. Not only what He does, but why He does it. Verses 24 and 25. First of all, verse 24. The Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good. Always. And so we need to remind our children constantly, God is dealing with me, or has dealt with me and is dealing with me in this particular way for this reason. This is why God did this for me or to me. This is why God is doing this in this way. And remind our children constantly that God's dealings with us are for our good. Romans 8:28, we know that all things work together for good. And that verse will become very meaningful to us and to our children as we specifically explain to them in the situations that come into our lives how that was good. In what way did God bring that situation to be good for us? In our lives, for example, sometimes there is pruning that comes in. God has to prune away some of the excess foliage in our lives. And as the husbandman comes and prunes that vine, it looks like he's doing a disastrous work. Here's all that extra foliage, and he just chops away and just leaves barely the stump and a few shoots. And it looks disastrous. It looks like, you know, oh, look what's happening to me. How terrible. But, you know, God has a purpose, and that is fruit bearing. And I remember in Chile, seeing how Chile is the vineyard of South America, and they would trim those vines right down to practically nothing. It looked like they just had a fence post left, and that was it. But, you know, those things would produce huge clusters of grapes. And that's what God has in mind, His purpose, to bring blessing into our lives. And that's why Moses says then in verse 25, he says, God does this for our growth, not only for our good, He does it for our growth. And He says, it shall be our righteousness. Now that doesn't mean that because of something I do, I'm going to be righteous before God. No, Christ is our righteousness. We have no righteousness of our own. Nothing in these hands I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. There's nothing I can do to merit heaven, to merit God's favor, to merit salvation. There's nothing I can do to be righteous before God. This is by personal faith in Jesus Christ. And if I trust Christ as my Savior, He becomes my righteousness. And if I refuse to do that and think that I am going to flaunt my self-righteousness before God, God will have to say, I don't know you. Because He only knows those who have come to Him through Jesus Christ. And so Jesus Christ is our righteousness. What does Moses mean? It shall be our righteousness. Moses says, this shall be our means of developing righteousness in our daily lives, of developing godliness in our daily lives. This, as we look closely and see what God is doing in our lives, to share this with our children, as we look closely to see why God is doing this in our lives, that we might share with our children, this is why God did this to me, for me. This then will be a means of growth. This will be the means that God has of building godliness, righteousness in my life. And so we share this with our children. This righteousness that is not merit for heaven, but a godliness that He wants to build in our lives right now. So this then is not only for our good, this is also for our growth. Now, if God's dealings were only for my good, then there would be many, many ways He could do it easier. For example, Israel at this particular time is standing at the brink of the Jordan River, and they're going to go across that river into the promised land. And God is going to take them into that promised land. And He says, that's the good land that I'm going to give to you. And I'm going to take you across the Jordan and into the promised land. This is the good thing I'm going to do for you. Now, if God only had their good in mind, He could have taken them across by just taking them at a time in which the Jordan was at its low ebb. And they could probably just wade across. But we read that when they went across, it was at the time of full flood. At the time when the Jordan floods all its banks, and the river is the widest of any time at all. The Jordan was just overflowing in all directions. That's the time He took them across. If it were only their good, He would have done it at an easier time. But His object was also their growth. And so He took it when it was the hardest. He took them when it was the most difficult. And when they saw how God took them across, how God brought them to the other side, as the leaders placed their feet in the water stopped and they went across on dry land. That was a time of spiritual growth in their lives as they saw what God did for them. Now, if God had taken them across when they could have waited, they still would have said, "Lord, I thank you for bringing me into the promised land." But when they saw how God brought them to the other side through flood tide, there were a lot of amens that day. "Lord, thank you. The marvelous way you brought us into the land you promised to us." And so God does it not only for our good, he does it also for our growth. And Moses then tells us, "You must teach your children God's ways and God's motives." You teach your children what God has done for you and what God is doing for you now. And after you told them what he's doing, then you explain to them also why he did it that way, how it worked out for your good, and how the way that he did it brought real spiritual growth into your life. This then is what you are to do. This is what you are to teach your children. Now notice back in verse 20 where Moses states the question of the children. "When thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, what mean the testimonies and the statutes and the judgments which the Lord our God hath commanded you?" Notice the order there. What mean the testimonies? Now, the testimonies are the illustrations. These are the Bible stories. The statutes are the basic principles of Scripture. Your basic Ten Commandments, for example, the basic principles. The judgments, you'll remember from our previous study, are the expansion on those basic principles, how they would apply to several different kinds of situations, so that you know how to apply them to different additional situations. And so we find here then that the children, when they asked, they didn't say, "What are these basic principles of Scripture?" They didn't ask that. They said, "What are these testimonies? What are these stories? What are these illustrations?" Because it's the illustrations that the children are interested in. That's their first area of interest. Now, we find that in the fact that, generally speaking, in the little children's classes in the Sunday school, what do we teach them? Bible stories. You teach them Bible stories because that is their highest area of interest. You don't start out teaching them the basic principles of Scripture. You teach them with the Bible stories. And so, for example, the lowest level of interest for a child then are these statutes. Here are the basic principles. They're very important, and we need to teach them to the children. But this is interest level down on the bottom. Exodus 20. For example, "Thou shalt not steal." Well, that doesn't make very interesting reading for a child. The next area of interest level would be the judgments. This is the expansion of that. We would have this, for example, here in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 18, "Thou shalt do that which is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may be well with thee." And this is the expansion on that. And they understand that a little bit better, about doing what's right and what's good, and that it'll be well with you then. But that's rather still a low level of interest for the child. The next level of interest is the testimony. This is the Bible story. And as we go up, we increase our interest level. And the Bible story, you say, well, the basic testimony, the basic statute is also not steal. And the judgment is also do that which is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may be well with thee. And then the testimony, let me tell you how Abraham did what was right and good, and how God blessed him. And so we can tell them the story of how Abraham went to deliver Lot, and he conquered the armies that had taken Sodom captive. And then they came back, and the king of Sodom said to Abraham, "Well, you know, all of this gold and silver, it's all yours because you won the battle over those kings." And Abraham said, "No." He said, "That gold and silver and garments, those are all yours." And I'm not going to take them because I don't want you saying I made Abraham rich. Those are yours. I recognize that everybody's doing it. That was the custom. If you conquered and you won the battle, you took all the spoil. That was customary. And Abraham could have said, well, everybody's doing it, and so I'm going to do it too. And Abraham said, no, that's yours. And if I had it, it would be stealing. And so I don't want anything. Just take it all right back home with you. And so Abraham did that which was right and good. And you know the result? In the first verse of chapter 15, God said, Abraham, I am your exceeding great reward. Everything and above that you refuse to take from him, from them, I'm going to give you. I'm your reward. And on top of that, I'm going to give you a son. Abraham couldn't have bought that with any amount of money. And so God blessed him. It went well with him. Now, that's more interesting. You can tell the children that and say, oh, isn't that interesting? No, but you can only tell them that a certain number of times. And there comes a time when you're teaching a class in Sunday school and you say, now, children, I'm going to tell you about Daniel in the lion's den. We've heard that one a million times already. And so there has to be another interest level. And the next interest level is your testimony. And you tell them how God taught you. Thou shalt not steal. How God taught you. You shall do that which is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may be well with you. And you know they're interested. Is that really what happened? Is that? Why did that happen? Why did God do it that way? Just a few days ago, we sold our church bus. We had a problem. We'd been trying to sell it and didn't sell it, and the license expired before a buyer came along. And so the buyer came along and he says, well, he says, I'm interested in that. I think I'd like to buy it, but I'd like to drive it. I don't want to buy a vehicle without driving it first. And so, you know, there's a turnaround driveway there. You can just drive it back and forth a little bit. And he did that, but didn't like it too much. And he said, I really would like to drive this thing, you know, before I buy it. Well, that's right. But, he says, I don't know, people have told me I could just put my old plates on, my plates on that and drive it with my plates. We do that? And I thought, well, I don't know if that's right or not. Well, he says, people tell me that everybody does it. That's the way you do it. I said, well, why don't I check? So I called the police and he says, no, just test out a vehicle. It's all right to put plates off in another vehicle. How? Should have heard him on the other end of that line. I thought I was going to get arrested for even asking the questions. And, well, I guess maybe, well, I'll call the license bureau. Maybe they have like a one-day permit just to be able to test a vehicle. And so I call the license bureau, and she says, no such thing as a one-day permit. It's by license. And I says, just for a couple of hours, by a whole year's license, just for half an hour or 15 minutes for a person to drive it down the street? For 15 minutes to buy a whole license. And I thought, well, what am I going to do? That's a terrible expense. Buy a whole license for 15 minutes. And about that time, the devil was saying, you know, well, everybody does it. Just put another plate on it. But, you know, isn't it thrilling how the Lord protects us? When I had called the police, I did a dumb thing. I told them who I was and what I wanted to do. And I thought, oh, no, they're going to be looking for that van. So, you know, there's no temptation taking you but such as common to man. God is faithful. He will not suffer you to be tempted above what you're able. And he really helped me with that one. And so I put that one aside. And I really don't want to do that. So, well, we were studying Deuteronomy, and thou shalt do that which is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may be well with you. I said, well, let's go get the license. So went down to the license bureau. Said to the man, you sell one-day licenses? And he said, no. I said, well, I'll give me a whole year license then. And he was kind of grumbly. I said, something about it was a bad day or something. I said, well, this is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And as I said it, I thought, you know, what's so happy about it? I'm having to buy this license. Well, I thought I'd try and cheer him up anyway. And he looked at the title and says, well, this doesn't have a vehicle weight on it. I can't give you a license without the vehicle weight. And I said, well, how do I get the vehicle weight? You know, you have to take it to the scales and have it weighed. So I said, okay. So I walked out and got on the sidewalk outside. And I thought, take it to the scales and get away. I turned around and went back in. I said, what do you mean take it to the scales and get away? It doesn't have a license on it. The plate card expired. I said, that's no problem. You take this form to show that you're taking it to get it weighed, and you take off the old plates, and it's perfectly legal to drive it with no plates at all to the weighing station and back again. Oh, well, that's interesting. So I came home, and buyer came, Jeff came, and I says, Jeff, I said, how would you like to take this van down and have it weighed for me? And he says, that would be fun. I think I'd enjoy doing that. And so he took off. I had taken the plates off in the meantime. He took off of that van without a plate on it. And they got it weighed, and on the way home, police stopped him. And they were bound and determined they were going to give him a ticket. And finally, he says, well, you check and see. And so they checked, and they found out something the policeman didn't even know. It is perfectly legal to drive a vehicle with no plates at all to the weighing station and back again. A few minutes later, Jeff came back. He says, only stopped once. And Lake Drive Baptist Church complied with all the rules and regulations of the United States of America and drove their bus legally. That's what God did. Now, the first thing we do is we tell what God did. Secondly, we tell why God did it. You know, why, if God wanted to sell the bus, that's fine. Why didn't he bring a buyer before the license expired? Or else, why didn't he have the police say, yeah, that's all right, just, you know, half hour, we won't mind. Or why didn't the bureau say, yeah, we have a little permit you can use for that? Why did he get us in that kind of a bind? Why did he give us the motivation not to just put a plate on it? You see, If we'd just put a plate on it and probably not gotten caught, with a plate on it, you're not likely to be stopped, like with no plate at all. If we just put a plate on it, the worst thing wouldn't have been getting caught. The worst thing would have been to miss how God wanted us to drive it without any plate. I wouldn't have known that otherwise. I didn't find it out until I went down there with a checkbook in hand to buy a plate. That's when I found it out. The same way with the Israelites. They didn't know that God was going to stop that water and let them go through on dry land until they got their feet in the water. God says, when your feet get in the water, then I'm going to take you through. And so we had to decide, we had to get in that bind and decide that we were going to do that which is right, good and right in the sight of the Lord before we could possibly find out the marvelous way in which he was going to bless us. I thought back afterwards, this is the day that the Lord hath made. And I thought, Lord, you made my day. That was just a tremendous day. These are God's ways, and these are God's motives. Now, I would have been grateful if God had sold the bus before, but when I saw what God did, then I was really grateful, just bursting with joy. And this was a means of growth. And so God says, share then with your children what God does and why he does it, so that they will learn. Don't just say, well, Ten Commandments say thou shalt not steal. Go beyond that. Read them Deuteronomy. Thou shalt do that which is right, good and right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may be well with you. And then tell them how Abraham did what was right and good, and it went well with him. And then tell them how you did what was right and good, and how it went well with you. And you'll have their interest. You know, how would you like me to handle our services here? Do you want me to come for service and say, now, today we are going to have, for our evening service, we are going to read the Ten Commandments? You say, oh, I know the Ten Commandments. Next Sunday night, you'd try to think of something else to do, because, you know, we're going to hear the Ten Commandments again. Or maybe I just read Deuteronomy and say, well, that's a little bit better. But after a few times of that, you say, well, you know, I've heard that quite often now. Or maybe I tell you about Abraham and say, well, that was interesting. But you, after a few times, you say, well, you know, you already told us about Abraham twice now. How do you like to have me share Scripture with you? Do you like to have me make Scripture live by sharing with you how God has used it during the week to bring growth, spiritual growth, into my life? If that's the way you like it, then the Scripture says, go and do thou likewise. That's the way you are to explain Scripture to your children. And if you'll do that, you'll never have any trouble with lack of interest. They'll just come and say, what? When thy son cometh and say, what are these testimonies and statutes and judgment? Tell me some more. And you'll never lack interest on the part of your children. This is how that we are to teach the Bible to our children. And as you share with them how God is teaching you His ways and why God is dealing with you in those ways, then you will have the thrill of seeing them constantly interested in the things of God. Shall we pray? Father, thank you that the Bible is not just a dry historical document, but we have something here in our hands that is vital for us today. And that these basic principles of life are necessary for us. And these judgments, these explanations, are what we need to live by. And these biblical illustrations help us to understand what you're telling us. But your ultimate goal goes even further. You want us to prove in our daily lives that these things are so. And you have promised us that if we will do that which is right and good according to the teaching of your word, that it will be well with us. Lord, forgive us for the many times when we rush ahead in our own ways and think that we know the answers and do things the way everybody else does it and justify it by saying, well, everybody does it that way. Lord, forgive us. Forgive me. God, give us newness of insight into your word that we might live by these very important principles of life that we find here in the word of God. And we thank you then that this kind of an exciting life is going to provoke in the hearts and minds of our children, what is this all about? I want to know more. Thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.